The Morrison government is promising a much more ambitious plan to tackle what some are calling an epidemic of family violence in Australia. As we heard earlier on this program this morning, more than 200 domestic violence services are demanding a decisive funding boost to address a huge spike in the number of women and children who are needing help. The Minister for Women's Safety, Anne Rustin, will discuss a new three-year national action plan when she meets with her state and territory counterparts later today. Anne Rustin, good morning.
Good morning.
You're working on a new national blueprint, which you say will be much more ambitious in its scope. Is that a concession that the current three-year action plan hasn't had much of an impact?
No, not at all. I mean, I think we have made some really significant changes in domestic violence, whether it be prevention or response. But, you know, clearly the statistics say there is much more to be done. And we also know that they're new and emerging things. And a lot has changed since 2010 when this plan that we're currently on was put in place. And we need to make sure that our next plan that starts in June next year reflects what is actually going on at the moment.
Can I ask what you're talking about when you say that it is working? Because the statistics don't really seem to suggest that. A woman is still dying at the hands of her partner or ex-partner every 8 days in Australia. That hasn't really shifted at all since these action plans were introduced.
Well, there's a couple of things to say there, Hamish. Firstly, I think that when we first started the national plan back 10 or 11 years ago, people actually didn't come out. They didn't talk about domestic violence. And, you know, it's good that people now feel that they can come forward and actually talk about it. But also, I think, you know, we also have seen a lot of changes in people's behaviour on our servers, that they understand that, you know, what disrespectful behaviour is and what it leads to. But it is a long journey, and we're on the journey with Australia to make sure that we actually change the behaviours of Australians, because at the moment we speak often about the response to domestic violence, but we've actually got to start stopping domestic violence from happening in the first place. And I think that is the long conversation. But hey, if there is anything that says good that's come out of the last few months of discussion, has been that I think the Australian public is ready for a conversation on this, and hopefully that conversation will accelerate the change, because it has been slow going. I acknowledge that. But if we can accelerate it by the discussions that we've been having, that can only be a good thing.
So all up, there's been about $1 billion spent over a decade. We spoke to Hayley Foster earlier this morning from Women's Safety New South Wales. She reckons there needs to be about $1 billion a year spent on emergency housing, counselling services, legal aid, all those sorts of things. Can you give us a sense of the quantum of money you're talking about that you're prepared to consider? Because that's a very big difference.
Well, look, certainly I can't preempt what's in the budget or what's going to be in the next plan. I mean, the next plan we're in consultation at the moment, and I'm speaking to Women's Safety Ministers this afternoon, because I think everyone's views are needed to inform the next plan, and that will also inform what needs to go in it. But, you know, this government has the largest ever investment in domestic violence, with the $340 million that's been put towards the three-year plan that's currently in place, the $150 million that was put towards responding to the COVID pandemic last year. That's just the money the federal government's spending. Every state and territory spends money as well. And I also have to acknowledge the amazing work of the not-for-profit sector in supporting people as well. So there is a huge amount of money that's going towards domestic violence. But as I said before, Hamish, the most important thing is we have to stop it and stop it happening. Responding to it is only a band-aid. We need to change behaviours, and we need to stop women being victims of domestic violence.
I do want to ask you about how you might achieve that through legislation, but just on the funding, women's advocates are calling for the $150 million in emergency funding that was granted during the pandemic to be renewed. They say you can't wait really for the next action plan to commit that there are hundreds and thousands of women and children needing help now. That's what Hayley Foster told us this morning. I mean, are you willing to commit to that?
Well, as I said, I'm not going to preempt the budget, but what I would say is that the $130 million that was actually provided to states and territories, they have it. The state and territory governments have this money. And the last progress report I received from them, that there was only, not all of it has been expended. So I'd encourage any domestic violence service that finds themselves with excess demand to contact their state and territory governments, because they still do have money available to provide from that $130 million.
But is that across all the states and territories? There's still excess funding there?
Yes, Yes, the last reports that I received from the states and territories indicated all states and territories had money that they had not spent. But I'm very much looking forward to this afternoon speaking to the women's safety ministers and getting an update from them about what they're seeing on the ground, because obviously has to be informed by the states and territories, and we're very keen to get the data so we understand whether what we're doing is working, what's not working, and where we need to make sure we target any future measures and expenditure.
In terms of prevention, what legislation do you think can be put in place? Do you think laws around coercive control will help change the culture? What's your vision in this area?
Well, look, certainly we have to use every lever that is available to us, whether it be legal levers, whether it be support and counselling levers, whether they're federal government, state government, local government. But the most important thing, I think, is that we have to change people's behaviours and the cultural understanding of what's right and what's wrong. And our campaign, Stop It at the Start, is very focused on saying to people, disrespectful behaviour is not acceptable, but have a little bit of a think about what you're doing. You may think it's not something that's affecting you, but think about how it might affect somebody else. Sure. And it's also very important that we put programs in place in our schools to make sure that we're educating young people. So we need to make sure that they understand at a young level what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, so they don't grow up believing that some of the behaviours that we have been seen and that have been called back are acceptable. They're not.
Do you honestly think, though, that advertising campaigns and education in schools can really immediately change things like financial and coercive control?
Oh, look, not at all. There are many things that go into a package that tries to respond to something that is as complex as domestic violence. But we have to target things at all levels. It has to be prevention, which is why we need to talk to young people and make sure that they've got the tools and the confidence to be able to deal with disrespectful behaviour when they see it. But equally, we need early intervention measures. We need to make sure that we speak to men who are perpetrators and get them to understand the error of their ways, because so many of the people we see are actually repeat offenders. If you see somebody for the first time, we need to make sure we target measures to them so they don't repeat offend. But equally, we need to make sure that we have those cold face services so that when women are making that horrifically decision to leave domestic violence, the support's there. So it's no one measure is going to solve this problem, and no one person or one government is going to solve this problem. This is a problem that Australia needs to face, each and every one of us. Federal government, state governments can all play leadership roles, but every single member of the public in Australia has a role to play in helping us get over this absolute scourge on our society.
You will have seen Christine Holgate back in the news over the last 24 hours. There is an argument that women in public life pay a higher price when something goes wrong. Do you think she got a pretty rough or shoddy deal from the government in the way her role was handled?
Look, I would certainly say that anybody, any of us that take up roles in public life do have an additional level of scrutiny, and when it plays out in the media, it can be extremely difficult. So I do acknowledge that public life, especially at the moment, is particularly difficult.
But why did she lose her job?
Well, my understanding is that Christine didn't reapply for the job as the CEO of Australia Post, and the circumstances around that are well known. I understand that there was an investigation into
I'm not sure that's agreed by her. I mean, she seems to suggest that she was wrongfully removed from her position. She only ever agreed to go or offered to go away on some leave, and that she was bullied out of her job by the chairman. I just don't really understand why she lost her job.
Well, obviously, this is a matter that is currently before the Senate inquiry, and there will be lots of people that give evidence around this. But what I would say is that there was an independent investigation by Maddox that found that some of the actions that were undertaken at Australia Post were inconsistent with the obligations that they have as a body that is responsible for the expenditure of taxpayers' funds. But I think, we obviously need to have a look at all the evidence that received by the inquiry and wait to see what that reports.
On the vaccine rollout, we've just been speaking with the CEO of an aged care provider, Widden, Chris Marmorellis. He's got some pretty scathing accounts of how this rollout is happening in aged care facilities. He says the government should tell aged care providers, and this is a quote, what the hell is going on? The bulk of his facilities don't have the vaccine in them. Most of his workers don't even have a scheduled appointment to get a vaccine. Isn't it time the government just acknowledges that this isn't going to plan?
This is probably the biggest peacetime mobilisation that we have ever seen. And look, in many instances, things could be done better. But we have to remember that this is the most important thing that we are going to do this century in Australia, is to vaccinate Australians. I don't know the specific circumstances in relation to the case that you're talking about, but more than happy, and I'm sure that Minister Hunt will be and Minister Colbert will be speaking to that particular aged care facility as we speak right now. But the most important thing that I think we can do is to make sure that we all work together, states and territories and the medical fraternity, because it's about getting jabs in arms and getting Australians protected from this terrible virus so we can get our economy back open and we can get the public confident. But we did have some challenges early on. There's no question around the supply issues, around the AstraZeneca vaccine coming in from Europe. But now we've got onshore supply and manufacture, and we'll be ramping things up over the next few weeks. Yes, we acknowledge it's slightly slower than we expected, but the other thing that I think we also have to acknowledge is that we went through a full TGA process. Everybody in Australia can be absolutely confident. We didn't cut any corners when it came to testing this vaccine, so that to make sure that it was absolutely safe for people to take. But I think, the patience of the public, we really appreciate, and we will be making sure that every Australian is vaccinated so we can open up our economy like we did yesterday with the travel bubble with New Zealand.
Senator Anne Rustin, appreciate your time this morning and good luck with the meetings today.
Thank you so much.
That's the Minister for Families and Social Services and Minister for Women's Safety, Anne Rustin.